Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, so very happy and blessed to be with you here today, while my co-host, Rhonda Branham, takes some much-deserved time off to be with her family this week. Well, Deacon Russ Woodard from Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Edinburgh is going to join me here shortly to talk about the rapidly approaching Fall 2019 40 Days for Life campaign. Deacon Russ is leading the charge this year, so I'm going to be speaking with him about why this campaign is so important and about the hope that is there in finally ending abortion. I think his words are going to inspire and strengthen you to keep on keeping on in this battle between life and death. There are good things going on right here in Bloomington and everywhere where there's a 40 Days for Life campaign going on. We can be of good cheer, for the author of life himself has already conquered death. So let's get started by way of prayer. Father, all life is in your care. You have entrusted us to one another that we may show our brothers and sisters the same love you have for us. We pray then for the least among us, the children in the womb. Protect them from the violence of abortion. We pray for all those unborn children who are scheduled to die at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Save them from death. Give new hope to their parents that they may turn away from the desperate act of abortion. Grant conversion to the abortionist and to the staff. Show us how we are to respond to the bloodshed in our midst, and lead us to the day when that place of death will be transformed into a haven of life. Guard us with your joy and your peace, for in you life is victorious. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, let's go to this week's In the News. According to an analysis by Live Action, Planned Parenthood's share in the abortion market continues to increase, with plans being made by top leadership to continue the upward trend. Planned Parenthood's market share of abortions has steadily climbed from roughly 35% in 2014 to nearly 39% in 2017. Back in 2000, that percentage was at 15%, with Planned Parenthood reporting 197,000 abortions in that year. The latest figures have Planned Parenthood performing nearly 333,000 abortions in 2017. The nation's largest abortion provider continues to try to convince the public that they are actually needed to help reduce the number of abortions by providing low-cost access to contraception. But a review of Planned Parenthood's annual reports shows that their contraceptive services are decreasing significantly, falling nearly 35% since 2009. Here in Indiana, Planned Parenthood was responsible for 63% of the state's abortions in 2018, while their abortion centers currently make up 57% of the state's abortion facilities. And an adult stem cell research expert testified this past Wednesday in the criminal preliminary hearing of investigative journalists David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt. Dr. Teresa Deischer, who holds a PhD in molecular and cellular physiology from Stanford University, told the court that in order to be harvested for medical research, a heart must be beating and be arrested in a relaxed position, giving credence to the horror that in the attainment of unborn baby body parts, some of the babies had to be born alive and have beating hearts when they were harvested. Deischer also testified that it is never necessary to use fetal organs for stem cell research. Deischer told LifeSite News that the whole process that these undercover videos exposed is, quote, beneath the dignity of a civilized society, cannibalizing the bodies of aborted babies, harvesting from living babies. They're not even anesthetized. We don't even do that to mice and rats. And with the report late last week of over 2,200 fetal remains being found on the Illinois property of recently deceased abortionist Ulrich Klopfer, many Indiana women are left wondering whether their aborted child is one of those among the remains. At a press conference held last Monday in front of Klopfer's former Fort Wayne Abortion Center, Serena Dixon spoke about how her abortion by Klopfer at the age of 13 had traumatized her. After years of destructive living, Dixon sought healing at a post-abortion retreat, but she said the shocking news of the gruesome finding has left her feeling violated all over again. Dixon went on to say that over the past week, she has been receiving many messages messages from other post-abortive women who have felt the same emotions. As a woman who has suffered through and from abortion, I'm asking that a full investigation be done, including DNA testing, to match these sons and daughters to their mothers who want them for a proper funeral and burial, Dixon stated. And Vice President Mike Pence took to Twitter to comment on the horrific discovery of 2,246 aborted unborn children found on the late abortionist's property. Pence called the discovery appalling and said it should shock the conscience of every American. While I was governor of Indiana, we took Klopfer's medical license away and passed a law requiring fetal remains to be treated with dignity, Pence tweeted. His actions should be fully and thoroughly investigated and the remains treated with dignity and respect. Finally, 12 unborn children lost their lives this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Two women from Kentucky and others from various Hoosier counties came to have their unborn children killed there at 421 South College Avenue. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners continue to be on hand not only on Thursdays, but several other days of the week as well, to offer love, hope, and life-giving options to the women going in. And that's your weekly In the News. Well, ever since around 2008 or so, Bloomington has seen 40 Days for Life campaigns going on there at 421 South College Avenue. Now, we haven't always done full days every day, and we've missed a few campaigns here and there in a couple of those years, but we've truly been blessed to be able to, at least for the most part, have a good prayerful and loving presence there in front of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood for many years now. And we've seen a lot of fruit and blessings come from these 40 Days for Life campaigns. There are many people to thank for the sacrifice they have made in helping to fill ours and for being out there in the inclement weather that can often accompany these prayer campaigns. So thank you to all the listeners for all of your help and support during these 40 Days for Life campaigns. And we're going to continue to need your sacrifices and prayers as we prepare to make yet another push to keep a constant 12-hour prayer vigil going on there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood for 40 days straight, starting on Wednesday, September 25th, and going through Sunday, November 3rd. And on the phone with me to talk about all of this is Deacon Russ Woodard from Holy Trinity Parish in Edinburgh. Deacon Russ, welcome back to Pro-Life to the Max.
Thanks, Monica. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Well, we appreciate your time. Now, one of the first things that pops out at me is that there is a record 505 cities throughout the world that will be holding a 40 Days for Life campaign this fall. I think last year's fall campaign saw just over 400 cities, so that's quite a jump. Do you know, is this due to like maybe more international cities being added, referral sites, the impact of the Unplanned movie? What do you think? What's going on here?
I think all of the above, Monica.
Okay.
We're definitely seeing more international cities being added all the time.
Mm-hmm.
New countries, new cities. As you said, the number of sites will be up over 20% over the largest campaign that we had last fall.
That's phenomenal.
This is amazing.
God is at work. It just proves it right there, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And undoubtedly, the Unplanned movie has helped. They saw a 30% increase in participation among volunteers.
Wow.
After the Unplanned movie came out. They have now over 1 million, think about that, 1 million volunteers who have participated in 40 Days for Life since they began in College Station, Texas.
It is incredible, and thanks be to God for that. And you know what? And seeing on the big screen what it means to go out and pray in front of an abortion center and the impact that it has, and that was so vividly portrayed in the movie, so I don't know how it couldn't incite you to get involved, right?
That's correct. You know, it changed Abby's life, and it's changed a lot of other people's lives in the meantime, too.
That's right. And a lot of this we will only know on the other side of heaven, too, right? Because God only parts the veil a little bit. He doesn't let us see everything. Otherwise, we might get prideful, right, and big heads. But I'm sure there's a lot more stories to be told on the other side, right?
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's definitely for sure.
You know, and another thing that I think is extremely very, very neat, very awesome, is that when we are out there praying, you know, at whatever time, we know that at least one other person is praying in front of an abortion center or a referral site at these 505 cities throughout the world. And I mean, that's just the body of Christ at work. Isn't that phenomenal to think about that?
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. So we never have to feel alone, in other words, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so let's run through some other numbers here to just show how effective these prayer and fasting campaigns are. So since the first 40 Days for Life campaign, and that was all the way back in 2007, 16,004 confirmed lives have been saved, okay? That's phenomenal. Mothers saved from abortion, babies saved, that they know of. 104 abortion centers have closed, and 191 workers have left the industry. So what is it, do you think, Deacon Russ, about 40 Days for Life that produces these results?
Well, it's foundations on which 40 Days for Life is built. It started all in College Station, Texas, when four people sat around an old wooden table and prayed for an hour.
And incidentally, you got to see that wooden table, didn't you?
I did, and it's amazing. I was blessed to be able to see that, I was in the very clinic where Abby Johnson worked when she had her conversion.
Oh,
and it's now the international headquarters of 40 Days for Life.
Oh, wow.
It was a powerful experience.
I bet it was, yeah.
But they have built this campaign after that hour of prayer. 40 came up many times. We see it in the Bible time after time again. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days fasting and praying. And so they said, well, if Jesus can do it, we can do it too. So that's one of the foundational principles, prayer and fasting for 40 days. Being out there at the abortion clinic, it's not just enough to be at home praying. We need to go out and we need to pray there at the vigil.
That's right.
Monsignor Philip Riley says that when we're in front of the abortion clinic, we're at the foot of the cross. We're at Calvary.
Mm.
We are there with Jesus, just like his mother and John the Apostle were there when he was being crucified. And we need to be there. It's not just enough to be at home praying or in front of the Blessed Sacrament at church. You know, it's not for everybody, but we really need to stretch ourselves and do this.
Mm-hmm. Come out of our comfort zones.
That's right. I remember when I first started doing it, I was a little uncomfortable, not knowing what to expect. But once you get out there and you do it, you recognize that God is truly present there, and we can contribute to this culture of life by being out there and witnessing. And maybe even holding a sign that says, pray to end abortion or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third foundational thing is the community outreach. So whenever we get a chance speaking to someone about some of these numbers, how many abortions have been done since Roe versus Wade was passed in 1973, it's estimated at least 62 million babies have lost their lives in the United States.
That's not even comprehensible. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not even to mention throughout the world how many babies are being killed. They estimate maybe 50 million babies a year are being aborted, and a lot of those are in places like China and India and places like that.
And these are such incredible numbers. That's such a horrific, you know, of killing, you know, just the sheer number of it all, that it seems like it can only be overcome through prayer and fasting, right? As our Lord said, only some demons can be driven out through prayer and fasting, and just seems to be one of them.
That is absolutely right. We're not going to do this any other way except through prayer and fasting and witness of our lives.
Yeah. So, Deacon Russ, why did you decide to lead the Bloomington campaign?
I just really felt a call from God that I needed to step things up a little bit, speaking about getting out of your comfort zone. but you know, we all need to just take the next step, and whatever that means for us, that means get a little more involved this time than you were last time. I think I did my first vigil in 2009 in Indianapolis at Planned Parenthood there, and I've tried to maintain activity ever since. But it's just God is calling me deeper and deeper.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like, you know, through my prayer that I'm being called. And I don't know if my being more active, my desire to do more is causing me to be more active, or my being more active is causing me to do more.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg.
Yes. Well, I think you will also are going to take the campaign here in Bloomington to the next step, too, which it needs to keep advancing, too, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, we want to keep the pressure on. We see that maybe it is having some impact on Planned Parenthood here in Bloomington, and we want to We just want to keep praying and praying. All these prayers are not wasted. God is hearing them. God is, in his time, he will make this abortion clinic close, finally.
That is so important for us to remember, isn't it? Our prayers are not wasted. He is hearing, and something is going on, and we can take that to the bank.
That's for sure.
Okay, so can you tell us about some of the 40 Days for Life conferences that you have attended? I know you mentioned that you were in the room Abby Johnson was in, and that table, that wooden table. So was that at a conference that you got to visit that?
Yeah, that was at the most recent Leader Symposium. We actually met in Houston, and one of the things we were able to do there was to go and pray outside the Houston Planned Parenthood, which is the largest abortion clinic in the Western Hemisphere. It's humongous.
Wow.
It used to be a bank headquarters, and it's just amazing. Multi-storied, building, just huge building.
And you can go on the internet and look up pictures of this place. It is massive. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. They call it the big cash register because at it, it looks like one of the old-time cash registers that has steps,
Mm-hmm.
But to be there and pray, and we also were able to take a bus trip to College Station, Texas, to see where it all began, and we were able to meet all the leaders from various campaigns. There were over 200 of us there from different cities. International countries were represented.
Wow.
It was just a wonderful opportunity for us to get together and to hear some of these stories of success that have really taken place.
That's right. And so did you get ideas, too, from one another? Was that part of it?
Yeah, it's really a good opportunity to share ideas, what works, what doesn't work, and things that work in one place don't necessarily work in another, but we're going to try some things. We're going to have some different events during this campaign. We're going to try to get some more churches involved, hopefully. There's been a good core of churches that are participated, but we need to get more involved.
Mm-hmm.
We know there's some good Protestant churches out there that believe in life the way Catholics do, and mm-hmm. so we need to bring them along help them to be part.
That's right, yeah. Okay, so can you tell me, what impact does it have on a community to see someone outside of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood praying every hour for 40 days straight?
Well, I think it's a tremendous impact. You know, I've been going to that Planned Parenthood for almost 2 years now, and I know there's people that have been there a lot longer than I have, and through 40 Days for Life campaigns and things like that, but it's just a lot of traffic goes through there, either foot traffic or vehicles, mm-hmm. and people see that and they notice. Mm-hmm. And, we've had people come up to us and say, I've been here in Bloomington, and I never knew that this place existed. I never knew that they were doing abortions here. So that just helps bring about an awareness, and hopefully it'll encourage other people to come and pray with us and just spend time there in prayer. And I know it's got to be affecting. Sometimes we see supporters of Planned Parenthood come out, and they'll be there for maybe a day or maybe a day for a couple weeks, and then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we just are consistent, and that's the whole thing about being out there for 40 days straight, that someone is there day in, day out, and praying for an end to abortion in our community.
Yeah, and it shows, too, we are serious about this issue, right? We're serious enough to give up our time, and it means we mean business, right?
That's exactly right, and we've had people come up to us and say, "I want to join you. How can I do it?"
Mm-hmm.
We had an undergraduate from IU come to us a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "I've never done this before, but I'm here at IU, and I heard that Thursday is abortion day, so I want to come out here and pray every Thursday that I can be out here."
That's great. That's great. So, is there going to be an overnight vigil again this year? This campaign?
There will be. It's patterned after one that started in Green Bay, so it's called the Sleep No More campaign. It's directed mostly toward the men. The men need to stand up and protect their families, and so we have dedicated men that come out on Thursday night beginning at 8 p.m., and there's different shifts, and they just stay all the way through Friday morning when our normal vigil starts up again. So we're very pleased to have men that have been doing this for several years, and they'll you, and I hope, too, that I get to be a part of that at some point, make it over in the middle of the night and pray there. So it's just a powerful thing.
Powerful. That's what it strikes me as. That's got to really release some important graces, right? Giving up that sleep and going out in the middle of the night. That's not an easy thing to do. That's sacrifice.
No, that's for sure. And at the 40 Days for Life Symposium, I got to meet Jim, who started all that in Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin. And you know what the weather's like in Green Bay, Wisconsin,
yes,
come October.
Yes.
So it's very cold and blustery, and a lot of times they see snow up there. And it's just an incredible witness. Jim tells a story about someone who was there overnight, maybe at 2 or 3 in the morning, and a car went by, and before they knew it, it came by a second time going the other direction. And finally, a woman got out of the car and said, "You know, I was thinking about having an abortion, but seeing you out here in the middle of the night in the cold, I've changed my mind."
Wow. Yeah, that was all worth it then. So some people might ask, too, when the facility is closed, why do we need to be there? How would you respond to that?
Well, again, it's just being present at Calvary, at the foot of the cross. Whether there's anyone in the building or not, we need to be there because our prayers do not go unheard, and we just need to keep at it. I think about, you know, water eroding away rock, and it takes years and years and years. I mean, think about the Grand Canyon. I was fortunate enough to go visit the Grand Canyon, to hike down into it last fall, and just think about all the millions of years that river's been running through there, and it's just dug away and eroded. Mm-hmm. And that's the way our prayer needs to be. And if we keep up this prayer vigil, it'll definitely have an impact on what's happening inside that building, and we can call down the Holy Spirit to drive away all evil and make this a place of peace and love and life again.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. And then also, can you speak to a little bit about the idea of reparation even too, how that really, we need to repair for all of the abortions that have taken place here. So there's another good reason, right, to even be there when it's closed, to make that reparation.
That's right. We can't all be out there on Thursdays, but we need to be out there consistently and pray for reparation for the sins of our world and our country. This has been a scourge on our country since 1973, and we need to eliminate it. And we can only do that by prayer and fasting and vigil and just keeping on what we need to do.
Okay, good. So you brought up fasting. So let's talk about that component of these campaigns, because sometimes that might get overlooked. So how important is fasting to this, you know, when we go out during, when we're doing 40 Days for Life, how important is that? And what are some ideas on how people can effectively fast?
Well, fasting is critical. It's a component. As you said earlier, Jesus said some things can only be driven out with prayer and fasting. So we need to continue on with that. For some of us, that means that we're going to adjust our diet, but it's not meant to be a diet. It just means we might adjust what we eat. Maybe doing the typical Catholic fasting where we have two small meals a day and then one larger meal that it can be that. It can be giving up something that's our favorite. It doesn't necessarily have to be food. It can be giving up something. Maybe we have a favorite TV show that we'd like to give up. I know one year, David B. Wright's son, I heard about this, he gave up his pillow. This is a young boy. He gave up his pillow for the whole 40 days.
That would be hard to do.
Ever since I heard that, I'm like, well, I guess I know one thing I'm giving up. So my pillow goes in the closet during 40 days for life.
But, that's wonderful.
You know, there's just so many things. It needs to be that thing that is gonna prick our consciences.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna hurt us a little. Yeah.
Reason why we're doing this.
Uh huh. Yeah. Great. So, do you have any special events planned for this fall's campaign? You mentioned earlier, I think, but what are those planned?
Yeah, we're going to have a kickoff on the very first day. We'll have the Friars of the Immaculate out there praying. So we're going to have a kickoff event. We're going to have a midpoint rally. That's going to happen on October 13th. We actually are honored to have Matt Britton. He's the general counsel and chairman of the board for the International 40 Days for Life. He's going to be with us. That's going to be at 7 o'clock on Sunday, October 13th. So we hope people will come out and listen to him. We're going to have some music. We're going to have some prayer. We're going to be able to celebrate maybe any early good things that have happened. But we'll also redouble our efforts for the second half of the 40 days and continue on with our prayer and our fasting. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm hoping that we can get some pastors from different churches to come out and to pray with us for an hour or something. Mm-hmm. And we want people to visit the 40 Days for Life website, www.40daysforlife.com. That's 40dayslife.com/Bloomington, and they can keep up to date on what's happening there, all the different events that we'll have going. They can sign up for vigil hours, and we'd most definitely want them to do that. So we'll keep adding different events, and so just keep coming back to there. We'll try to get things out on Facebook, too, as we're able. And so we just really want people to keep an eye on things during the whole 40 days, and to be aware of what's coming up next.
Okay, so do you think this fall's campaign is an important one? And if so, why?
I do think they're all important, but like I said, the more we can build upon one upon the other. Right now, you know, in our culture, in our country, things are changing. You know, unfortunately, you can't be pro-life hardly anymore and be in the Democrat Party. I'm not picking on the Democrats. That's just the way it is. They've chosen to support abortion, and so we need to keep praying for our country and to bring things back to the middle where they belong instead of on the extremes. So, you know, this is just a really important time in our country's history. We need to bring about an end to abortion. We need to bring about the culture of life. And so we just need to build upon what all's been done previously and keep building upon that. So these 40 days will be critical. We're seeing some signs that maybe things are changing at Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. So this may be the thing that tips the scale. We don't know. That's all God knows, but we don't know. But we need to come out and do our part to help tip that scale.
Absolutely true, and I agree wholeheartedly, so thank you. Deacon Russ Woodard, this year's local campaign coordinator for 40 Days for Life, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on Pro Life to the Max, and thank you for all you are doing in God's vineyard to help build up a civilization of life, purity, and love.
Thank you, Monica. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
You bet. Well, this fall's 2019 40 Days for Life campaign is less than a week away, and we encourage you to go to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington to register and sign up to come to 421 South College Avenue at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood to pray and be a public witness for life. This is one of the largest and most powerful, effective tools that we have to help end abortion both locally and globally. And your prayers, presence, and fasting, united with those of so many others throughout the world, are needed. Once again, the campaign kicks off internationally in 505 cities, including right here in Bloomington, on Wednesday, September 25th, running through Sunday, November 3rd. If you've never done this before, no worries. Just go to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington, and Deacon Russ Woodard's contact information is there. Give him a call or email him, and he'll be glad to walk you through all the logistics and to make sure that someone is there with you. We are out of time for today's show. Thanks so much for being with us and for all of your support and prayers. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe. The most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.